knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, God had a purpose when he created us as new creatures. It wasn't just something that God did so that he could change us. God had a purpose in making us new creatures. Ephesians, the second chapter, look at the way the Apostle Paul kind of talks about this purpose and the process by which we are participants in this purpose. God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest that no man should glory. God's grace is what enables us to be the new creatures that God wants us to be. This is the way he concludes that. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared that we should walk in them. Understand that there is a process at work here. We did not do works so that we could be saved. We were lost. We were without God. But God sent grace. And that grace appeared in the man Jesus Christ. And his death makes us alive when we put him on in baptism. Titus 2 at verse 14. He says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When he says we're a peculiar people, that doesn't mean we're weird. It means that we're wholly owned. Peculiar is the way that you would describe a dot that is at the center of a circle. It's completely surrounded by that circle. Before we put on Jesus in baptism, we were without God, and we were acting like we were without God. But having put him on, we now get to live a new life. Here's the way he describes it in Titus 3. We also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hurting one another. That's the state of the world that he describes in the first chapter of the book of Romans. That's the way that we acted like people who didn't have the Spirit. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, because we weren't working righteousness. We couldn't work righteousness. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That washing of regeneration is baptism. The renewing of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit working in us to produce good works, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then this is how he concludes this statement in Titus. Faithful is the saying, and concerning these things, I desire that thou affirm confidently to the end that they who believe God may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Once God saves us, we get to live like Spirit-led people. Matthew 5 at verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our goal, to show the people that are around us the greatness of the God that we serve. And he says, your labor is not in vain. It will not be empty, because those people that are around us take notice of the change that has happened in us. They take notice of the kind of people that we are, and they wonder why. The willingness of Christians to care for others was put on public display. According to historians, when two great plagues swept the Roman Empire, one beginning in 165 and the second beginning in 251, mortality rates during this plague in 251 climbed higher than 30%. Rivals the plague in Europe. Pagans tried to avoid all contact with the afflicted, often casting the still living into the gutters. Christians, on the other hand, nursed the sick, even though some died doing so. Does that mean that everybody who wasn't a Christian threw the sick into the gutter? No. No. No matter how wicked the world becomes, there will always be examples of people who rise above what is generally the case. In the midst of Nazi Germany, in the midst of the greatest evil that we can imagine, there were some people that hid the Jews. They did what they could. In a letter to an elder of the church in Antioch in 251, an elder of the church at Rome mentioned that there were more than 1,500 widows and distressed persons that the church was caring for. 1,500 people. Tertullian, I have no idea if that's what he looks like, but that's what everybody portrays him as. Tertullian was a Christian. And he writes this, at the end of the second century, while pagan temples spent their donations on feasts and drinking bouts, Christians spent theirs to support and bury poor people, to supply the wants of boys and girls destitute of means, and of parents, and of old people confined to their houses. Christians care. Now, the statements that we've looked at might be dismissed as Christians saying we're better than everybody else. And I might think that about someone like Tertullian. But those same sentiments were repeated by people as complaints about the men who were living without faith. Look at a statement that was made by Julian. He was an emperor in Rome, 250. He's called Julian the Apostate. He is by no means a friend of Christianity. And Julian, when he looked at the Roman citizenry as a whole, had this complaint about them when they were compared to Christians. He said, those impious Galileans, and that's the way he would describe them because they didn't worship the Roman gods. He said, those impious Galileans support not only their food, but ours as well. These Christians were noticed. It was inescapable that they were living a different life. And it made a difference. Not just to the Christians who commented on what other Christians were doing, but to the pagan emperors who complained that their people weren't doing what the Christians were doing. It's the way it was supposed to be. James said this in James 1 at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and our Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What did that look like? Well, we read about the early Christians in Acts, the second chapter. In verse 44, in response to this great number of Christians who had, this great number of people who had become Christians on the day of Pentecost, many of whom were travelers to the city of Jerusalem, and they quickly exhausted the funds that they had. But they stayed there anyway because they had begun to learn about God, and they couldn't go home and take their Bibles and read them because they didn't have Bibles. So they had to stay where the apostles were because they were telling them about the things of God. In Acts 2 at verse 44, it says, all that believed were together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, according as any man had need. They supported those who had need, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, breaking bread at home. They took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. And this wasn't why they did it, but it's what happened because they did it. Having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. God's word promises us that our labor is not in vain. When we care for those people that are hurting, it will make a difference. Finally, Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Paul encourages the Christians. He said, so then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all men, and especially those, especially toward them that are of the household of faith. Do we care especially for Christians yet? Is it limited to caring just for Christians? No. Not at all. Remember what Justin said. They care for their own. They care for ours as well. We're having an impact on the world around us. People see the care that we have for those that are hurting. It doesn't matter whether they're Christians or not. We care about them because they're hurting, and we do what we can to help support them. Yes, we care about Christians more, but it makes a difference. When Lee's neighbor was hurting, she knew that Lee would be there. When my neighbor was hurting, they just knew that we'd be there. When your neighbor has been hurting, they know that we'll be there. They know that you care. Why? Is it that nobody else cares? No, that's not it. It's because we live like the Spirit wants us to live. And it's more than just a matter of degree. As I was reflecting on this, I started asking myself, does that mean that people that have never put on Christ never do anything right? Doesn't mean that at all. But what we're talking about is of an entirely different sort. I was thinking about 9/11. As those buildings started to come down, there were people in those buildings who did their best to help people escape. And they are to be praised. But there were other people who had an entirely different outlook. Firemen ran towards the flames to help rescue people. That's not just a difference in magnitude. It's a difference in outlook. Christians have that outlook. And we make a difference in the world around us.